We've got two verses for our message this morning. From John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, we read, "Yet to all who received him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God." Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, you've loved us so greatly. And through Jesus, by our faith in him, you have made us your children, adopted us into your family. Thank you for all that Jesus did, and thank you for the grace that you give us even to believe, to put our faith and trust and to receive Jesus. And so, Lord, help us to understand what it means to be your children and to have you as our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Dr. Gary Rosberg tells of a time when his young daughter, Sarah, burst into his study with a freshly sketched Rosberg family portrait. Too busy at first to take notice, Rosberg finally gave in. Okay, come on, let's see your picture. "Ah, that's nice," he said absently. "I'll hang it on the dining room wall." After Sarah left the room, Gary Rosberg began to feel uneasy. There's something about that innocent stick figures that seemed wrong. He did a double take. Well, there's Mommy, there's Sarah, there's Sister Missy, the dog Katie. But where was the dad? There was no dad in the picture. Rosberg called Sarah back into the house. "Honey," he asked rather sheepishly, "look at this picture that you drew. Where's your daddy?" Without skipping a beat, she replied, "He's at the library," as she nonchalantly skipped out of the room. "He's at the library." Well, he had been studying hard to earn his doctoral degree in, wait for it, family counseling. And he came to the sad realization that after 11 years of his life had been sacrificed for that trophy, 11 years that had made him a stranger to his wife and kids. Wow. It was a wake-up call for him, and he's gone on to write some great books that are on my shelf about family relationships. But he had to learn that himself. Unfortunately, today in our society, so often, dads are absent. More than a third of children in this country grow up without their biological father. Among them are what I think is an astounding 30 to 60,000 children born each year through donor conception. Now, while that's hailed as a modern miracle for infertile couples, a study titled "My Daddy's Name is Donor" revealed that as adults, most of those children conceive through in vitro fertilization, so-called test tube babies. Most of those, when they become adults, long to know or at least know about the father who contributed half their DNA. Even though it was just anonymous donor, they still long to know. There's something in their heart that's still not complete. They say they want to know something about the man whom they physically resemble. What is unmistakable is that there is a yearning in the heart of every child to know their dad. The evidence from science and personal testimonies is so very clear. I could cite study after study that tell us fathers indeed really matter. We are created to need and to respond to a father's love. No one has a greater potential to influence a life than those of a father. Now, we often say how important mothers are, and it truly is. But there's something even greater, the impact of a father. Now, what secular studies do not say is that this need for a father is not just a biological or a social need. It is indeed foremost a spiritual one. We were created to need a heavenly father. There is a longing in our hearts to know the one in whose image we were created. Many people who have never seen their biological father or even a photograph of him say that when they look in the mirror, they often wonder about the image of the one whom they most likely resemble. We were made in the image of God to be like him. Well, not in physical appearance as our earthly dads, but in his personal and moral attributes. The qualities of his righteousness and holiness, of his love and kindness, and we could go on. We were made to long for our heavenly Father and to be like him. Now, we do need earthly dads, so that's a biblical truth. The importance of us as earthly fathers, there is much in Scripture about that. We were designed by God to need a human father. We need their love, their affirmation, their blessing. Sons need them as a role model for true masculinity. Not necessarily what the world calls masculinity, but what a father ought to be. Firm yet tender, a protector and a provider. One who is there for his children. Sons need a dad to teach and to model for them the skills that are needed to be truly successful in this life. And daughters need dads too. I'm somewhat of an expert on that, having six daughters. They need a dad that is loving and kind, who protects her, who becomes a model for the kind of man she should desire as a husband. Sadly, those daughters who grew up without a close connection with their dad often end up marrying those that maybe not the right fit for them, because they've never had that model. A daughter also needs a dad who encourages her to pursue her dreams according to her God-given talents and abilities. I was just talking to my daughter yesterday. My daughter Lydia, who's getting married this summer, she was on a climb recently, a mountain climb, where she was the only woman on that climb, all these men. I said, well, how'd you do? Prove yourself on that climb? I mean, did you keep up? Oh, sure, Dad. We were beginning to climb a mountain many years ago. I said, you remember that time when we were ready to climb Mount Shuckson and we're at the trailhead and there was this other group of guys there. And one of the men that had just come off the mountain looked at myself and my three daughters and all of our climbing equipment and he said, are you going to climb the mountain with your daughters? And I said, you bet I am. He said, wow, that is so neat. My wife and I just had a baby girl. And I thought, oh, I wish it was a boy that I could take him climbing mountains with me. But you mean I could take my daughter climbing with me too? Yeah, I said, you can. And now, of course, the youngest of those three is now a professional mountain guide. Let them dream dreams and be there with them, for them. So that's what earthly dads are good for. Our earthly dads are responsible for passing on life to us. I mean, earthly life. We would not be here if there wasn't that conception long ago and that DNA coming together from both our mother and our father. But the life given to us by our Heavenly Father isn't just some sort of divine DNA, but it's a life through his Spirit living in us. Our earthly dads have their DNA in us, but our Heavenly Father truly does live in us, is present in us through his Spirit. Now, the Father we've always wanted isn't an upgraded version of our human fathers. It is the Creator whose fingerprints are imprinted on our soul. There was once a clay animation movie made, and the way in which the figures were done in a rather rough manner, the human figures in that clay animation still bore the fingerprints of the one who made them. And in the same way, the Bible tells us that God is our Father. We are the clay, and He is the potter. We are the works of His hands, and His fingerprints indeed are imprinted on our soul. God is the Father we have always wanted, because God, our Heavenly Father, placed that yearning in our hearts to desire what only He can give. Again, Bible tells us clearly how important earthly dads are, but how even greater that we know and yearn for and become a child of our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us in the verse we've just read that we become children of God not through biological workings, as we become children of our earthly dads. We become children of God through putting our trust and faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For all who received Jesus, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right, and that word right is usually translated authority. When Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go make disciples of all nations." Same word, this authority, Jesus has been given authority that through the message of the gospel, we might become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus said that in John chapter 3, when He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, a very intelligent man, said to Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Is it going to be some kind of physical thing that we need to do?" "No," Jesus answered, "truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water of baptism, the Spirit, His Spirit infilling us, the gospel made visible for us, that God cleanses us as we trust in Him. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. And so we must be born into our Heavenly Father's spiritual family. And He gives us not just physical life, but He gives us a brand new life. A life that is lived by His presence right in us. And like our earthly dads, our Heavenly Father does discipline us. In fact, it says if we don't receive the discipline of our Heavenly Father, we're not really His children. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 10, it says, "But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace by those who've been trained by it." Now, we don't like discipline, but even as earthly dads disciplined us, and it says, and we respected them for that, and they disciplined us for our good, the discipline of our earthly dads should yield good results if it's done in love and in the right way. But the discipline of God yields something that we can't as human fathers do. We can't make our children holy. Now, we can help them to honor and respect other people. There's a lot of ways in which we can teach our children to be good, but we can't make them holy. And we'll fail bitterly if we try to be so strict that we're going to make you holy. No, only God can make us holy, God, our Heavenly Father. And so it says that He disciplines us so that we can share in His holiness. He wants us to be like Him. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now let's digest that. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We do have a perfect Father. There's no question that God is perfect. Now, how are we to be perfect? If we understood the Greek language, it would help us out here a lot. Because in the Greek language, this word means to become all that we were made or created to be. It's not a never making a mistake kind of perfect. It is becoming mature, to become complete, to be everything that we were created to be. In other words, let's grow up to be like our dad. Even as our Heavenly Father is everything that is perfect. And in the context of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is teaching about how God perfectly loves even those who aren't very nice, and that He provides even for the evil as well as for the good. And as God loves in that way, loving even our enemies, we too should reflect this perfect Father in loving and being kind in His perfect way. Well, that's a project that's not going to be completed until we get to glory. But He's beginning the work even now, perfecting us so that we can be like Him. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, this word teleos, be perfect, is the same word as be holy. Be holy as I am holy. Become more and more like our Heavenly Father. So our perfect Father is able to give us things that our earthly dads can't. No matter how wonderful and great our earthly dads may have been. And if you had a great earthly dad, then that is wonderful. Because that's a blessing God wants you to have. But if you haven't, God, our Heavenly Father, said He'll make up that deficit. And there are some things that no earthly dad can provide for his children. But God, our perfect Heavenly Father, can give us His perfect peace. You will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Perfect peace. Our earthly dads can comfort us and try to give us some peace of mind, and yet the only perfect peace that is there is from our Heavenly Father. That is in Isaiah 26:3. There is a perfect love. Our earthly fathers ought to love us. We are commanded to do that and to model God's love. But we don't have the perfect love of a Heavenly Father. We can never achieve that. 1 John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God," and such we are. And 1 John chapter 4 goes on to say, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love, and we love because He first loved us." And so while as human fathers we desire to love our children, we do fail, and yet we have the perfect love of a perfect Heavenly Father. And when we do fail, we have the perfect forgiveness offered to us. In Ephesians chapter 1, which was read this morning, it tells us, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 4, it says, "He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight, to be like Him. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." And let me pause there just a moment, because some of you gals may be thinking, well, how come we don't get to be adopted as His daughters? And the simple fact is this: in the Roman times, in that society, the daughters didn't have the same privileges, legal privileges of the son. And so he's saying this, that even as women, we get adopted as sons. We get the legal privilege. We have all the rights and privileges of an adopted son, no matter what sex we are. Does that make sense? Okay. And it's just put that way to convey that we have all the inheritance and all the rights of children of God, the inheritance of heaven, and all the riches that are given there. Every spiritual blessing, as we heard earlier, in heaven is given to us through Jesus Christ. Okay, and then it goes on to say, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves, in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. No earthly dad can acquit us of our guilty conscience and forgive the things we've done against others and against God. Yes, our earthly dads can forgive us the things we've done against him, but he can't cleanse our conscience nor clear our record that would otherwise condemn us. He gives us his perfect love, his perfect forgiveness. He gives us a perfect home in heaven. I want to make sure I didn't forget one of those things here. Yes, perfect peace, perfect love, perfect forgiveness, a perfect home. How does Psalm 23 end? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. We have a perfect home in heaven, and we will experience the perfect kindness of our perfect Heavenly Father for all eternity through his perfect peace and love and forgiveness that he has given to us through Jesus Christ. And he's prepared a perfect home for us in heaven. I love Ephesians 2, 6, and 7. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages, that is eternity and eternity and eternity, in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. It says, our Heavenly Father can't wait for you to be with him in heaven so that for eternity to come, he will lavish on you the riches of his grace shown in kindness. You ever wanted a dad who was just kind? Maybe your dad was just wonderfully kind, but it can't beat our perfect Heavenly Father who is going to spend eternity showing us his kindness. Wow. I don't want you to miss out. God is the Father you've always wanted, always needed. And you become his child, how? By believing and receiving his Son, Jesus Christ. And I hope you've done that. And if you never have, and if you've always kept God at arm's length there and saying, I'm not really sure I can trust this Heavenly Father. Sometimes I couldn't trust my earthly dad. No, he's the perfect father. And we can give all of our heart and entrust all of our heart to him. Now, if you had a great earthly dad, we just praise God for that blessing he's given us. But we do have a perfect heavenly father who wants to receive us into his eternal family and love on us forever. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that indeed you've given us the right through the authority of Jesus Christ to become your children as we put our trust and believe in Jesus. And Lord, today, if there's anyone here that's never confessed you as their Heavenly Father by confessing Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would do that now, that they would cry out to you and say, Lord, Heavenly Father, I believe that your Son, Jesus, died for me on that cross. I believe he rose from the dead and will give me his life. And I ask him to come into my life and into my heart as my Savior. And Lord, I receive him and I believe in him. And I want to be your child. Thank you for making me your child and living within me. And Lord, help me now to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.